أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله يا على الصلاة يا على الصلاة يا على الفلاح يا على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. One of the problems that we have as Muslims today facing Western norms and Western society and Muslims not just living in the West, but it's a problem which spans the whole globe. And this problem is the fact that it's as if we're living a dual identity. It's as if we're living a double life. We come into the masjid for a lecture, for a khutbah, for a talk, for a seminar, and we hear the words of the lecturer or the speaker, and we take this knowledge in. And then when we leave the masjid, we don't act upon the knowledge that we had. We don't implement the knowledge that we've heard in the masjid itself. It's like as if we leave the masjid and our minds are wiped clean from whatever we heard in the masjid. And that it only pertains to us being in the masjid that we have to act upon the things that we hear. We leave the masjid and we don't implement what we hear and we don't implement what we learn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ O you who believe, why do you say that which you don't do? كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ It's a great thing in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a big sin that a person says something but he doesn't act upon whatever he says. He hears some benefit, he hears some knowledge, but he doesn't actually act upon the things that he hears himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ Do you order the people to do righteous things? وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ And you forget yourselves, you don't even think about acting upon the knowledge that you've heard yourself. The Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, he was talking about the Day of Judgment. And he was talking about the punishments of the hellfire. Because he saw them with his own eyes when he traveled with the angel Jibreel عليه السلام, in that miraculous journey that he went on. And he started to describe some of the things that he saw. And he said, I saw men whose lips were being cut with scissors made of fire in the hellfire. I saw men whose lips were being cut with scissors of fire. And so he said to Jibreel, who are these people, O Jibreel? And Jibreel replied and he said, these are the khatibs from among your ummah. The khatibs from among your ummah who used to enjoin righteousness on the people and they used to forget themselves. And they used to recite the Quran. They used to recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they never understood what they used to recite. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam talked about the Day of Judgment. And he described those people who will be waiting for their books and for them being accountable for everything that they did and said in this world. And he said that a person will not be let go on the Day of Judgment. He won't be allowed to pass. He won't be allowed to pass until he is asked about specific things, until he's asked about his life and how he spent his life, what he did with his life that he was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he'll be asked about his knowledge and what he did with his knowledge. See, it's not enough for a person to just know things. You know, sometimes we hear a hadith, sometimes we hear ayat about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us to do something, forbidding us from something. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us to do something, telling us the rewards of doing something, telling us not to do something, to stay away from something. But yet we still go and do those things which we're not supposed to do, even though we know it's wrong. And when we know something is obligatory upon us, we still don't do it, even though we have that knowledge. So it's not enough for an individual just to know. He has to act upon the knowledge that he's been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a righteous scholar of the past, and he was talking about this issue of not acting upon what you know. And he said that, إِنَّمَا أَخْشَى عَلَى نَفْسِي. He said, I fear for myself. أَنْ يُقَالُ عَلَى رُؤُوسِ الْخَلَائِقِ. And you call li ala ru'us al khalaiq, that I will be asked in front of the whole of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be asked, he said, I'll be afraid that I'll be asked, hal alimta, did you learn? And I'll say yes. And then I'll be asked, ماذا عملت فيما علمت? What did you do with what you knew? What did you do with the knowledge that you had? What did you do with this knowledge that you had in your head? The knowledge that you gained and you heard from people. What did you physically do with it? And the scholars of the past, they would say that the people won't be happy with a scholar who speaks but doesn't act upon what he says. And they won't be happy with someone who acts without knowledge as well. It's also said that Abu Darda, radiallahu anhu, he said that you won't be a scholar until you first learn that knowledge in order to become a scholar. And then he said, you won't learn that knowledge until you act upon the knowledge that you've heard. So a person has to make sure, in order to retain that knowledge that he's heard, in order to keep it, he has to act upon it. You have to go out and implement the knowledge that you've been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, he said that knowledge is the tree. Knowledge is the tree, and actions are the fruit of that tree. Knowledge, brothers and sisters, that you don't act upon is like wealth that you don't spend. It's like money that you have in the bank account, money that you have on you that you're not even spending. It was said that just like you won't benefit from your wealth until you spend it, you won't benefit from knowledge until you act upon that knowledge that you have. It's no benefit for you. It's just information in your head until you physically implement that knowledge. And when you leave the masjid, for any type of talk, any type of lecture, any type of khutbah, whatever it may be. Don't just leave admiring what was said. Don't just leave thinking about what was said and talking to others about what was said. Rather act upon the knowledge that you had. Implement it in your life. One of the scholars of the past, he said that whoever goes out wanting knowledge, that knowledge won't benefit him. If a person goes out wanting knowledge, then that knowledge isn't going to benefit him. But whoever goes out wanting to act upon the knowledge that he hears, that will benefit him, even if he hears something minor, even if he hears something small, even if it's not some amazing thing that he hears. If he acts upon what he hears, that's truly what's going to benefit the individual. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said to the people, don't be deceived by the one who reads the Quran. Don't be deceived by the individual who recites the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just words which are read. إِنَّمَا هُوَ كَلَامٌ تَتَكَلَّمُ بِهِ. It's just words that are read. Don't be deceived by that individual. But look at the one who acts upon the Quran. Look at the individual who, when he reads the Quran, he understands what's being read. And he acts upon whatever is being recited by him. Actions, brothers and sisters, and the importance of actions is something which every single one of us needs to know. Actions themselves help us keep our knowledge and retain our knowledge. One of the scholars of the past, he said that we used to help our memorization of a hadith, we used to aid this memorization of hadith by implementing and acting upon them. That's how a person retains his knowledge. There needs to be practical implementation of whatever a person learns and hears. One of the scholars of the past, he said, knowledge is understood with good manners. Knowledge is understood with good manners. If a person doesn't have the right adab, doesn't have the right etiquette, that knowledge won't register in his mind. And he said, and with knowledge, your actions are rectified. If a person doesn't know, his actions aren't going to be correct. He's going to be doing things incorrectly. And then he said, with actions, you will attain hikmah. You will attain wisdom because of the actions that you perform. One of the scholars also mentioned about the importance of actions and acting upon what you know. He said, a scholar will continue to be ignorant until he acts upon the knowledge that he has. Performing actions, doing the actions, doing good deeds is what's going to get us into Jannah itself, brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا عَصْر, by time itself. He swears by time. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْر. Mankind is at a loss. You all know this surah. Mankind is at a loss. Man is a loser. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except for the one who believes and he performs righteous deeds. See, it's not enough for a person just to know. In order for a person to be successful, for him not to be a loser in this life and in the hereafter, he needs to make sure that he's amilu salihat, he's performing righteous deeds. He's doing deeds that will make him enter into paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And those who believe and they do righteous deeds, they do righteous deeds. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. They are the inhabitants of paradise. They are the ones who will enter paradise. Hum fiha khalidun. They will enter into it forever and ever, never leaving it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. He says, we will surely give them their reward in the hereafter. بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. According to the best of what they used to do. Because of what they used to do in this world. That's how a person will enter into Jannah. Not simply by what he knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those who will enter into paradise and the angels who will greet them before they enter into paradise. And he describes what the angels will say and how they'll greet those who will be entering into eternal bliss. What will the angels say? الَّذِينَ تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ طَيِّبِينَ. The ones whom the angels will take they'll take their souls in a pure and good and gentle manner. And then when they will enter into paradise, the angels will say, Salamun alaykum. Peace be upon you. Salamun alaykum. Udkhulu al-jannata bima kuntum ta'malun. Enter into paradise for what you used to do. Because of what you used to do. So actions, brothers and sisters, is what's going to get us into Jannah itself. And we need to make sure that when we leave the masjid, whenever we hear a piece of advice, whenever we hear a hadith, whenever we hear an ayah, it's not just enough just to retain that knowledge and just to hear it and admire it and think about how amazing it is. We have to act upon it if you really want to benefit from that knowledge. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. We talked about the importance of actions and how a person needs to implement what he's learnt and act upon the knowledge that he hears, so that it will be a cause for him to enter into Jannah. Because no one will enter into Jannah except by the deeds that they used to do in life. Now, how can an individual implement that knowledge? How can he practically go out and do actions? Because we're falling short in this category. And I advise myself before I advise anybody else, that sometimes we say things and we advise people, and we might mention a hadith or we might mention an ayah, but we don't really implement that ayah or that hadith in our lives. So how can an individual do this? What can we do to make sure that whenever we hear something, we act upon it? The most important thing is sincerity, making sure that whatever we do with any act of worship, we're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the companions, he said, رُبَّ عَمَلٍ صَغِيرٍ تُكَبِّرُهُ النِّيَّةِ. It might be that a person does a small deed, something minor, something small, something maybe some people might think is insignificant. تُكَبِّرُهُ النِّيَّةِ. Because of his intention, that action becomes enormous and huge in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of the purity of his sincerity, his ikhlas. وَرُبَّ عَمَلٍ كَبِيرٍ تُصَغِرُهُ النِّيَّةِ. And it might be the opposite as well, that a person does a huge act, he gives lots of money in charity, but his intention isn't for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that, that deed in the sight of Allah, even though it was huge for that individual and for the people who saw, because of his incorrect intention and because of his lack of sincerity, it's going to be tiny in the sight of Allah. It's going to be insignificant. It's not going to matter. It's not going to have any effect for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينِ. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purely for his religion, for his sake. When a person does something for other than the sake of Allah, he's not going to make as much effort. We always hear about sincerity. You know, we always hear about how a person should do things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes we get tired of hearing this all the time. You know, we think, yeah, I've heard this before, I know this. Tell me something else that I can do. But a person, when he thinks this, he doesn't understand the enormity of this single note and this single point. When a person does something for other than the sake of Allah, he's not going to be trying as hard as if he was doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is this? If a person gives in charity, or he's praying because he sees some people there and he wants to impress them, and he wants to do it so that they start praising him. Once they start praising him, he's going to stop doing that action because his job is done. He's got what he wanted from the people, which was their praise. You know, it was their attention. He wanted them to notice him. And so once they notice him, once they start to praise him, that's it. He's achieved his goal. And he's not going to make as much effort. When a person does something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't know whether his action has been accepted or not. And so he's going to continuously be trying. He's never going to give up. He's always going to be doing good deeds for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And part of this, brothers and sisters, is making sure that when we learn an ayah or when we learn a hadith, that we don't hear this ayah and hear this hadith and then think to ourselves, I know someone who does that act even though it's forbidden. Now that I've heard this hadith, I'm going to go to that person and tell him about this hadith. Even though he might be falling short himself with regards to that piece of advice that he's heard himself. And so he starts to tell other people, and he uses it as ammunition. You know, he goes to other people and he starts telling them. He just heard the hadith and just heard the ayah himself. Just heard these points of benefit, but he hasn't implemented it himself in his own life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, save yourselves and then your families from the hellfire. Save yourselves first and foremost. Don't listen to a hadith or an ayah and then go and start looking at people who aren't doing that and then start using that hadith as ammunition and argument, arguing against them and putting them down. But you're not even implementing this ayah or hadith yourself. Who were you to go and tell other people about an ayah or a hadith when you're not even implementing that hadith and ayah yourself? Do you think you're better than the rest of the people? You know, do you think that you're perfect and you're high and mighty, that you don't need to implement that hadith or ayah yourself? A person needs to understand that he needs to implement that ayah in his own life. لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ Why do you say things that you don't do? Why do you say things to other people when you know you've got your own shortcomings? You know you're not perfect. Nobody is perfect. So a person needs to make sure when he hears some points of benefit, don't go around looking and aiming it at other people first. Look at your own self. Look at how you can implement that hadith and that ayah in your own life. On yourself first and foremost, on your families. Another way of implementing the knowledge that we hear, my dear brothers and sisters, is by making sure we have ihsan and we achieve excellence in every single thing that we do. In every single thing that we do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, wa ahsinu inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin. Achieve ihsan. Try to achieve excellence in everything that you do. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who achieve excellence. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, look at the people who are below you with regards to this dunya. Because when you do this, you're grateful for what you have. You're thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you might have an old car, an old banger that barely drives properly. And then you see someone who's walking everywhere, doesn't even have a car. And you're grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he's given you a mode of transport. He's blessed you with this. Don't look at the person who has a nicer car than you. Because then you're going to start being, you're not going to be grateful. You're going to be ungrateful for what you have. You're always going to be looking at the next person, the next car, the next house, you know, the latest trainers, the latest computer game. You're always going to be looking at that. You're never going to be satisfied. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, with regards to the acts that will bring a person closer to Allah, acts of worship, always look at the person who is above you. Don't look at the person who is below you. Don't do an act of worship and then say, you know, I've done a lot more than most people do today. I've prayed some extra optional prayers. I've read a few pages of the Quran. I've done extra dhikr. And most people don't do that. So I'm good today. I've done enough today. Alhamdulillah. A person should always look at the people who are doing better than him with regards to acts of worship. Because that way he's always going to be improving with regards to his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nowadays it's the opposite. It's the opposite. When it comes to the dunya, we're looking at the people who are better than us. And then we're never satisfied. We're never going to be satisfied. There's always going to be someone who has a better car than us. Always someone who has more money than us. Who has more children than us. Who has a nicer house than us. And we're never going to have this satisfaction. And with regards to acts of worship, we're always looking at the person below us. The minimum is enough. And we need to change this idea that we have with regards to these two things. The roles need to be switched. Our mentality needs to change. From the ways that an individual can act upon what he knows is by making dua, by supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, he would make dua to Allah azza wa jal. And he would say, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'an. Oh Allah, I ask you for beneficial knowledge. Wa rizqan tayyiban. And beneficial and goodly provision. Good provision, halal provision. And amalan mutaqabbalan. Wa amalan mutaqabbalan. And accepted deeds. Actions that are going to be accepted by you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making this dua. Somebody whose past and future sins were forgiven. He's asking Allah azza wa jal that Allah accepts his good deeds from him. And if that's the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then what situation are we in? That we do a minimum amount, a bare minimum amount, and we think that it's enough. We think it's enough, you know, it's okay, it's fine. We will enter paradise with the small amount of deeds that we have. Umar radiallahu anhu, he said that if an announcer came down from the heavens and announced to every single person, all of you are entering paradise, except for one of you. Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, I would be afraid that that individual would be me. I would be afraid that that single person would be me who's not going to enter into paradise. Umar radiallahu anhu, he went to one of the companions who knew the names of the munafiqs. He knew the names of the hypocrites during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so he went to this person wanting to know who those hypocrites were. Why did he want to know? So that he could beat them, so that he could kill them, so that he could harm them, so that he could go and teach them a lesson. No, he was afraid that he was one of those people. He said to the companion, he said, am I one of those people? Did the Messenger of Allah mention my name? Was I one of those hypocrites that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Messenger of Allah that they live amongst you? So, you know, with acts, with our actions that we do, brothers and sisters, with acts of worship, we can't cut any corners. We can't afford to cut any corners with the actions that we do. Sometimes we may feel weakness. We may feel laziness when we don't want to do certain deeds. But a person should make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasr. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from weakness and from laziness. As the Messenger of Allah used to make this supplication himself. So a person is encouraged to do good deeds. A person needs to be involved and active with social issues, social problems which are affecting the Muslims. Regardless of where he lives or you know, the neighborhood that he's in or the community that he's in. We have problems with drugs. We've got problems with alcohol. You know, we've got problems with sexual grooming. These are serious issues. And I don't agree with those people who say it's a Muslim problem, sexual grooming. It's not a Muslim problem. It's a social problem. It's a problem which isn't just affecting Muslims. You know, people are going around saying it's a Muslim problem. It's not a Muslim problem. It's a social issue. And we all know it's something which is wrong. I don't go to a Christian and tell that Christian, what do you say about sexual grooming? What do you think about it? Obviously, he's going to say it's wrong. No one's going to say it's something which is good. We as Muslims, we know it's something which is wrong. No one's denying that. You know, we're not guilty until proven innocent. We know it's a serious issue. It's a social problem which everyone's facing. It's a problem in society itself. It's nothing to do with, you know, Muslims or Christians. And then you have people going into masajid, giving out Bibles. If I went to a church and gave out a Quran, wouldn't they feel offended? It's disrespectful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He rectifies our affairs and that He transfers and changes our knowledge into actions themselves, and as a result of this we enter into Jannah. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Allahumma ihdina fi man hadayt wa afina fi man afayt wa tawallana fi man tawallayt. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الله يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين في فلسطين وفي الشام وفي أفغانستان وفي العراق وفي كشمير وفي أفريقيا وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين. إن الله يأمركم بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم ودعوه على نعمه يجدكم ولذكر الله أعلى وأولى وأكبر والله يعلم ما تسمعون. أقيم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
So is Fufakum, straighten your rows. Ya'tadilu. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم.
سمع الله لمن حمده. السماوات الله أكبر. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This week's Saturday lecture is entitled Poverty and the Homeless and will be delivered by Sheikh Abu Abdullah Abbas. The lecture will take place after the Maghrib prayer. The weekly Urdu lecture will take place today after the Maghrib prayer. The Sisters Friday Circle will take place in the Old Library at 5:15 p.m. This week's topic is on wasting time. On Thursday, the 22nd of May, the Sisters Coffee Morning will be holding a mosaic art workshop. Green Lane Masjid are organizing a community cleanup of Small Heath Park and the surrounding areas. This is an ideal opportunity for you and your family to perform a community service. To register, please visit the Green Lane Masjid website. Task Force Syria are organizing a number of events to raise money for Syria. They are collecting old mobile phones to recycle, and all money raised will go to Syria. If you have any unwanted phones that are lying around, then please drop them off to the masjid office. A bungee jump for brothers will take place in the masjid car park on Sunday the 8th of June. To register, please visit the masjid office. Every week we have a bake sale for Syria in the masjid car park after Jummah. If you wish to donate any food items, then please drop them off to the masjid office before 1 p.m. Please visit the stalls on your way out and make a purchase to help the people of Syria. Finally, we ask that you donate generously to the masjid. After the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we rely on your generous support. Buckets are situated at all exit points. We are still collecting money for Syria. Please donate at the main masjid office. Jazakumullah khair.